if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Everything is Intention, Consciousness, Energy. Everything is intention, consciousness, energy. So take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the energy of the highest aspect that you can possibly embody at this time. That would be for your highest good. And as for the clearing of any energies that you don't have to carry any longer, any karma, any negativity, anything that is less than wholly joyous, ask that it could be lifted, if possible, at this time, and that you could be placed in the clearest embodiment of energy, conscious awareness, and intention that you could possibly embody at this time. Very good. You feel that energy come in, sometimes as heat, sometimes as chills. My body immediately starts davening back and forth, rocking back and forth. Pay attention when energy comes in, because it always does something when it hits the biosphere. The Holy Spirit never enters without making His presence known. And the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit driving and operating the machinery, you're not going to have a clear intention, that's for sure, or a clear consciousness and energy field. So let me ask you, what energy are you vibrating right now? Take a look. Feel your state of consciousness and energy. And what is your intention in listening to this seminar? Because that is what you will receive. So it's of utmost importance that we become aware of intention. Because the very results in our life on every level manifest according to our intention. So if one were to ask you, what is your overall life's intention? What would you say? Have you looked? Do you know? You see, intention truly is a dividing and driving force behind creation. I say dividing, actually it was a mistake, I meant to say determining, but actually it does divide the ego and the Christ that you are, that falls from the truth. Because intention actually, if you want to boil it down, is God. It's the very God force. It's the force within and without. Now, in Sanskrit, the word intention is called sankalpa, which means the divine resolve. What was the divine resolve? To extend as the many, so that love could be both given and received, so that relating and relationship and communication could take place between the Creator and creation. How precious is that? What could be more wonderful than to have that awareness down in your Levi's and your sneakers all the time? So that you walk in that conscious awareness. So mastership is living consciously on purpose all the time. So we're here. Why are we here? We're learning to take responsibility for the energy and state of consciousness and vibrations that we are hosting in this universe. And you know what? Whether you're here on Venus, in another galaxy or universe, it's the same story. Everything is intention, consciousness, and energy. No exceptions. We are here to learn how to be responsible co-creators on Earth and throughout the cosmos. This Earth experience is like the green room. We haven't even gotten on the stage yet. It's the place where you put on the makeup and you rehearse your lines and you go through all the things so that when you walk on stage, you're filled with that incredible energy of being on purpose with the role and with the commission and mission that you carry. So we're in preparation to go forth and create in new creations that have yet to be birthed. We are each a creator god in training. We are always co-workers with the divine throughout the vastness of divine creation and creativity, which is endless. We are embodiments of creative intelligence, learning how to create intelligently and responsibly. And that's a chore, as we all know. So, everything in existence is vibrating energy. So I'd like you to look around you right now and look at all the objects in your space here. And see if you can look past the form appearance and see if you can experience the energy apart from the outer appearance. Pretty soon you'll get really good at that, and you'll learn to look past appearance, and you'll go right to the truth of the energy. So you can practice this with people, places, things, but practice feeling the vibration, the auric field of the energy that's presenting. You know, the blind are really skilled at seeing by sensing the energy and vibrations of people and things. And sometimes a useful exercise is to blindfold yourself and practice doing that. Because they say when you're deprived of one of your senses, that the other senses pick up the slack and fill in for the missing sense. Interesting thought. But our pets and plants and the very cosmos itself recognizes us by our energy and acts or reacts accordingly. So people who are attacked by animals and other people are emitting an energy that portrays weakness. Weakness invites attack under the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. It's one of the most fundamental, basic laws of the lower universes. And the same applies with people. Victims attract victimizers, but it's all about energy. Now, when we're owning our turf, walking in calm, assertive leadership, clear and aligned in spirit, mind, and body, there will never be an attack. The yogis are never bitten by snakes. They're never attacked by wild animals because they're centered and very clear in their intention. So there simply is no energy that could possibly invite attack when one is calm, assertive, living on purpose, aligned with the spirit, in clear intention. So when you have a clear intention, you will always have a clear manifestation. Whether it is arriving on time, getting a job, losing weight, whatever it may be, when the intention is clear and in agreement with all your levels, you will have successful manifestation. Now, in terms of consciousness, we could say that energy and consciousness are things that you bring from your past. It's the accumulated distillation of all the experiences you've had in your many, many goings and comings in time-space. And intention is the qualifier. Intention is the driving force that utilizes energy and consciousness to manifest form. And as we've often said, every form that you see is simply densified thought. And every thought creates form at some level. So your initial intention determines the final result. Well, you might ask, can one change one's intention before the results manifest? And the answer is no. Why? Because intention and manifestation are one in spirit and only appear to be separate in time. What is time? Time is an illusion, but it's also an opportunity. Time is the opportunity for unfoldment. Because if you want to know the absolute truth, we've never left the heart of God. We're eternally one with God. We're already the whole enchilada. We've already completed this earthly dance in time-space. We've never left home. So entering into time is entering into an opportunity to practice and exercise your intention, consciousness, and energy to become more refined and experienced as a divine creative agency. And we're constantly fine-tuning our abilities. I don't believe that ever ends, because enlightenment is endless, and we keep moving deeper into the manifestation of ever greater manifestations of divine consciousness, awareness, and bliss. So when you leave the focal point, let's say, of being in a physical densified third dimensional form, you simply up the ante and spiral into a slightly less dense life and manifestation. Without, I might add, the discomforts of physical life. Because only down here do we have this pain and difficulty and eking out our survival by the sweat of our brow, so to speak. You don't have that factor on the other side. But the unfoldment of the divinity and the awareness and the facility with which you wield and manifest energy to create in concert and unity with the Supreme Absolute Godhead, it keeps unfolding, keeps going on. And you go to greater and greater and greater arenas of encompassment and responsibility, to where you go from being a human to a superhuman, from a superhuman to a master, from a master to a logos or an avatar. What's the difference? Well, a logos would inhabit a sphere like a sun or a planet, and an avatar would come into a world to anchor a particular potency or level of divine consciousness and energy onto the planet, whatever planet it is. It could be an avatar to any planet. So the avatar is the descension of pure divinity, unalloyed by ego. It could be the manifestation of an aspect of God, or, as in the case of Sai Baba, a full manifestation of God, as much as is appropriate for that place and time on that particular planet. Naturally, all of God couldn't come down, would implode into light. But just saying, there can be a Purna avatar, which is a full descension of the divine, and an Anga avatar, which is an embodiment of a quality or potency of the divine. So when you look at all the gods and goddesses, those are not actually gods, they're potencies, embodied potencies, or qualities of God. And before the consciousness on the planet was able to read and understand written things, which was not for a long time, the only way they could understand spiritual teachings was through stories and mythologies and the personification of God's power in anthropomorphic imagery that they could actually relate to in terms of their own daily lives. So all of the mythology of the Greek gods and goddesses and the Hindu gods and goddesses and so forth, those are just ways that the developing humanoids on this planet were able to understand spiritual teaching, because they were in bodies and very involved in being identified with a body. They could only relate to the divine if the divine had a body and behaved somewhat as they did. So man is always making gods in his own image and likeness. But, you know, little segue there. So because manifestation and intention are one in spirit and only appear to be separate in time, we have to understand that in spirit, everything is already done, completed, finished. There's no time element. In spirit, giving and receiving are one, just as problem and solution are one. Question and answer are one. Spirit and soul are one. God and man are one. Christ and you are one. So only in time do these give the temporary illusion of being separate. So likewise, intention and result are one. So based on results, where are you in your life today? How clear and aligned is your intention, consciousness, energy? Any hitches or hiccups? Well, of course, that's why as souls we enter the time-space continuum, to integrate and smooth things out. We are all masters in the making, and yet when all the making and doing has been done, it's only to realize that we've always been that, and only that. We are incarnated to discover that we are perfect, pure, holy divinity now and forever. Only the illusion of time, space, and differentiation give that illusion of separation and imperfection. If we could write that, you know, tattoo that on our forehead, our brain, somewhere, so that we would remember it and automatically go to that as a default setting of consciousness, it would be so helpful. It would save us tons of angst and worry and second-guessing and criticizing, condemning and feeling guilty and inferior and lacking in self-esteem. All absolutely worthless waste of time. So begin, if you choose to, this is always a free will universe, but if you want to save yourself a lot of problems, begin to live from topside down. Assume that what this mystic here is saying is true, and that you are forever one with God, indistinguishable, like sweetness and honey, like wetness and water, like a wave on the ocean. To get that in your mind. And remind yourself every time you slip down into self-judgment, or you begin to identify with being less than that. And you can tell when you do that because you're very unhappy. That's the feedback that lets you know you're off course. You're misidentifying. You're misjudging. And not that that's a sin or anything bad, or you're not going to get punished for it, but it's punishment in itself to deprive yourself of joy in this moment, peace in this moment, ananda, bliss in this moment. So back to the energy in your room, the consciousness. Consciousness consists of the known, of previous conditioning, and so it's always linked with time and the cognitive mind. Consciousness, however, can be a bridge to expand beyond time into awareness, which is timeless and non-localized. So awareness, you could say, is the ultimate destination of consciousness, intention, and energy. Because awareness is purely spiritual and is always transcendental. Awareness is the manifestation of the intention to fully awaken, to fully know oneself and God as one. When you have that intention, unalloyed with any other agenda, you will awaken and know. Sai Baba said if we could hold that intention for 11 minutes and really go beyond body, emotions, feeling, mind, with total one-pointed intention, we would realize the self. So every one of us is the perfect manifestation of the divine intention to extend love. The one divine source intended to extend love throughout the cosmos by appearing as the many. So bottom line, the purpose of life is relating, sharing, communicating love. We are each one of us embodiments of divine love, created by love for the purpose of giving and receiving love. And as I constantly say, it's my motto, in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. All of creation has emanated from the heart of God, or to be more technical, the heart of the solar logos, as thoughts of love. That's it. And we've never left that heart. So, to begin with, in working with your intention, before you get involved in any enterprise, particularly any really significant, time-consuming, commitment-involving enterprise, ask yourself, what is my intention here? What is this for? What purpose will be served? Be real clear what you want to manifest as your reality, as your life. And when you're in a situation, ask yourself, what do I want to have happen here? How do I want this to play out? And then make the highest conscious choice you possibly can. You are exercising conscious mastery every time you do that. Be very clear that the things you put your precious energy into, that it finds agreement on all levels. Mastering your life path has to do with getting in alignment with the intention of the soul and with your soul purpose. Your soul purpose is the underlying intention of your life. You could call it your life's major theme. It's part of your journey of self-discovery and self-realization to find out what your soul purpose is. Now, each lifetime may have you focus upon a different soul lesson, a different skill and ability. You could have been Heifetz, you know, the great, great violin maestro, and the next lifetime not be able to play the violin at all, because there's another skill, another ability, another aspect that the soul needs to work on. You could be a great orator in one life and a mute in the next. Why? Well, because you need to develop other areas. A master actually has to have mastered one of two things, three sciences and one art, or three arts and one science. Every master. So that a very, very old, experienced soul that's had many, many, many incarnations often is a person that has tremendous talent in many areas. But they don't feel drawn to focalize their intention and their life into only one. But they may have episodes in which they exercise. For example, they might have a period of life when they paint and they do music, or they're involved in science or business or whatever. But they will often change because they realize that they're not to devote their whole time and life on that particular thing. They're here to do something else. And the something else that most advanced souls have come to do is not anything that has to do with mastering a physical skill or an artistic skill. Most come in to master the science of intention, consciousness, and energy, because that's what masters do. They learn how to consciously be responsible with the wielding and directing of energy, not the controlling of energy, the wielding and directing of energy, not at anything, but in alignment with the divine plan and purpose. So they're living all the time in conscious responsibility, conscious of the energies they're bringing forward and what they are doing with it and for what purpose. So all around you, you can observe what I have just shared, that there are many, many people who will devote their entire lifetime to developing and expressing a single talent or interest. And there are other lifetimes where the life is less focused on a particular thing. And listen here, because this is very important. There are also lifetimes, sometimes one or two in succession, which involve quiet absorption, where integration is occurring. Say, for example, you've had a tremendously challenging lifetime where you've had to just face one thing after another, or perhaps you've undergone a major initiation. And then you'll have two lifetimes or more where you're just a very, very ordinary person, not doing anything in particular, living a very quiet, non-challenging life. You need to learn to trust your purpose and your process. Trust the greater purpose which sent you forward, with a capital P, that higher purpose, soul purpose, and trust your process. And allow yourself to be who you are, what you are, how you are, and just keep going to God, step after step. Do your best. But don't worry about your life if you've stayed in the same house for your whole life and have never done anything in particular that was particularly outstanding or phenomenal. Because the very last lifetime before you achieve realization is often like that. You are winding it up. And on the other hand, sometimes you could be living so many lifetimes in one that you feel like a whirling dervish. So I'm just saying that there can be a very definite reason why your life is the way it is right now. Trust it. You're not alone. You're being guided and directed by the entire hierarchy of great men and women who have gone before you and perfected themselves and are living at that level of superhuman mastery. So there are lifetimes when a certain resting is required, and also cycles in your life when you need to chill. There are definite cycles in your lifetime when you need to be sequestered and to absorb and assimilate the light and the sound codes that you have been exposed to, whether through initiation or just really going for God internally. I remember when I was being trained to be one of the teachers of the Ashtar Command. This is back in the early 60s. We were put on a course, a three-year course of study. And about every 6 weeks, we had to go on a rest where we were not allowed to read, which for me was torture because I absolutely loved reading. And the Ashtar Command put us on the most marvelous course of study. We studied everything: Greek, Egyptian, Mayan, Atlantean, Lemurian culture. We studied about psycho-cybernetics, how the mind works, positive thinking, mind control and direction, emotional clearing and repatterning. Of course, we read the books from the early contactees who had actually been taken physically aboard spaceships and physically taken to other planets, for example, like Hal Wilcock, for example, and Adamski, George Adamski, and others that actually had direct experience with advanced human beings from Venus, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, and other places in our solar system and beyond. So we studied those books as well, and I met most of those contactees myself. I didn't meet George Adamski, but I did meet Hal Wilcock and Daniel Fry. And of course, I worked with George Van Tassel for several years and other people like that. But these are people who had direct experience. And there was none of this abduction stuff. None of that was going on back then at all. So all of the experiences were with very, very advanced ultra-terrestrial beings that were beautiful, you would say the perfect examples of the best a human being could possibly be. Those were the men and women that were on these magnificent spaceships, which were like floating cities. And if you want to read really wonderful books, read George Adamski's books, Inside the Spaceships, and I forget the other one. But there are some actually authentic, real, direct experiences that have been written about. And, feed your consciousness some positive things like that. Get the facts. You know, don't go into the astral fantasies that are giving birth to so much of the writing today and so much of the channeling. So again, be very clear where you're investing the energy of your life, where you're focusing your intention, and check all the time, what is my intention here? Because based on your intention will be in exact measure the results that you manifest. So based on results, you can always determine by hindsight what your original intention was. For example, when you keep showing up late for work, or you do a sloppy job, or you have a bad attitude. What's your intention? You want to be fired. You do not want to be there. And so you're going to be fired. And only self-deception would suggest otherwise. When you cheat on your spouse and fantasize a different life apart from that particular person you're with, your underlying intention is separation, the parting of ways, divorce. When you say you want to lose weight, but you keep putting the same sugary, self-indulgent snacks in your grocery cart, you're fooling yourself. Your intention is not to lose weight. Same with any area of indulging the senses at the expense of your health. If you want to stop smoking, you stop buying cigarettes. If you want to stop drinking, you stop buying that six-pack or that bottle of liquor. So you see, your behavior must align and give proof that your intention is what your behavior is portraying, or nothing's going to change. But these are the ways we fool ourselves, and we waste time, and we undercut what we say we want. Another one we can all relate to, say you want more money. Many people say they want more money, or so they say. But everyone who pleads consciousness, observe that so often they shop with complete indiscriminate whatever. They just go to the dollar store and they end up spending a couple hundred dollars on junk they don't need or whatever. And they're packing in the stuff like pack rats. They don't budget. They have no financial plan. They never exert any kind of self-control. They do not tithe or invest anything into God's work. Nor do they do a single generous act for another. In other words, they basically have no common sense at all when it comes to being responsible in financial management. And yet these are often the very people who want to win the lottery. But as it says in the Bible, if you're not faithful in the little things, how can you be faithful and responsible with much? And also, those who are faithful in the little things will be rewarded because their kingdom will be advanced. They will expand the domain of their life. So you start small and you take very, very good care of your home, your clothing, your shoes, your car, the inside of your garage. Whatever you have dominion over in the little areas of your personal life, take care of it as if it were the very living room of Almighty God. Because it is. It truly is. And then you will find that you're blessed with increase. But if you don't take care of what you have in the small areas of your life, you sabotage increase. You're actually undermining and undercutting because your energy and consciousness is letting the universe know that you're irresponsible. You're not capable of being responsible in a larger arena of consciousness and energy. So it's so important that we wake up and really look at how we live, what we're doing, what we're reading, what we're spending time with and on what. And so what I've been discussing here are really familiar patterns of incongruent behavior that we see every day. So let's look at spiritual intention. Many say they want to realize their soul purpose, realize God, attain liberation. But do they really? Take a look at what they are investing the most time, money, energy, and attention into. So it's important not to deceive yourself. You know, if it's the world, fine. Have at it. But don't live a lie. Don't live in deception. But if you claim you want spiritual attainment, check and see if your interests, habits, reading material, and daily lifestyle give evidence of that. Is there fruit on the tree of your life? Based on your life today, right now, and what you've manifested, you'll clearly see your real intention revealed. There's got to be fruit. Sai Baba said the fruit of genuine spiritual development is an ever-growing sense of inner joy and inner stillness and peace. When the heart is pure and the mind is quiet, the voice of the beloved will be heard. The voice of God. When the heart is pure, when the mind is quiet. So the lower ego nature will always seek to undermine your spiritual awakening. That's what lower natures do. And its favorite ploy is to tempt you in the area of your weakness. You know, every bad habit that I have ever outgrown, I put my foot down and said, this is no longer an option, period. And I simply dropped it out of my life. Was not an option to take a drink. Was not an option to smoke a cigarette. I never took drugs, but if I had, that would not have been an option either. Certain things were not an option anymore, and that settled it because I was very resolute in my intention. And consequently, you know, the minute I set that edict forth, I wasn't even tempted. I didn't have any draw to those things at all, as if they just never existed. But you have to really be firm with yourself and not allow your lower nature to run the show. The lower nature is to be dissolved into the higher nature. You're not going to lose the power and the experience and the value of that. But it's going to be transmuted and subsumed up into your higher nature. So that you have the distillation of the experience. You haven't lost anything. You haven't wasted anything. But it gets transmuted into something glorious. It's kind of like the analogy of roses growing out of the manure. You know, the manure actually goes into producing that beautiful rose. So, in terms of weakness, again, it's the bullies, the predators, the victimizers. They're always on the outlook for the area of weakness, and that's where they wage their attack. Also on the inner planes, when you're working in the lower dimensions where there's things that go bump and scrape in the dark, the boogeymen and so forth, astral entities. When you're walking in the light of your soul, you are so brilliant that they can't come near you. You burn them. The light hurts them, actually burns them. But if you're wimpy and you're scared and you freak out at the slightest little apparition, they're going to go for you. They're going to have fun. They can't really, really hurt you. But they can sure pull you through the ringer. So you've got to learn to walk in the authority as the Son of God. You've got to walk in who you are in Christ. There's a lot of good directions in the Bible about how to do that in the New Testament. Walk in the light with the Christ until you know that you can walk as the Christ. Walk and speak and pray and decree in the name, power, and authority of Christ until you know that that same name, power, and authority is your own name as also the Christ. And take responsibility for yourself, for the energy you are importing, whether it's on Earth or in one of the more subtle dimensions of life. So what to do? Well, spend some time each day in vicharana, inner inquiry. Get to know yourself, your motives, your strengths, and your weaknesses. Every day, practice staying present with your actions. Practice that mindfulness. And keep checking how you are really feeling. Your feelings give you really good feedback. What your intention is whenever you're doing whatever it is you're doing. And stay conscious, stay awake, stay present with your life. You know, people sometimes think they can meditate for a half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening, that's going to cut it. It's not. We need to learn how to be conscious, awake, in a meditative, conscious, observing state at all times. You do it daily until it becomes so natural you don't even have to think about it anymore, like driving a car. You don't even have to think about it. And then that translates to your dreams. And you find you're operating in your dreams the same as you would in the physical life. You're teaching, you're healing, you're working with people. And then at some point you transcend all the phenomenal realms. And you just dissolve in the bliss of God. But you don't lose conscious awareness. It's very interesting. You have a continuity of consciousness so that the waking and the dream, the here and the there, completely begins to dissolve. And you live a seamless, eternal life now. You're moving into the level of immortality. Even while you're seemingly in the body, you're living a bigger life than the body. And so when there is the passing into the next dimension, however that occurs for you, it's just going on business as usual. But not business as we know it here on Earth, but the things of God. Do you realize that a master has no personal life whatsoever? They may be married, some of them are. They may have children. That's not impossible. But they're focused on planetary and cosmic levels of service. They don't have any need for themselves. They've outgrown personal need. They've outgrown selfish desire. And they live as functionaries of the great cosmic unfoldment of divine creation in myriads of worlds, this being just one of many, many, many educational spheres for souls to experience and master themselves in. The soul is pure and holy, but inexperienced. It needs to come down into the planes of adversity and polarity and duality to learn how to function divinely and responsibly in every kind of situation, circumstance, and environment. But everything is for your spiritual advancement. Nothing that will ever happen to you, ever, is not going to serve your highest good. I love in the Course in Miracles where Jesus said, A happy outcome to all things is assured. And what could the end of the world be but the eruption into laughter and joy, because it's been a place of sorrow and despair. So everything that we fear that might happen to the earth, to humanity, is all part of the ego's nightmare and the conditioning that has come in from unawakened, unconscious, sleeping people who are still dreaming bad dreams. The only ones you should really listen to are people who have had direct experience with God, who have some measure of conscious spiritual integration, ideally a master or an avatar. But there are many, many different consciousnesses that will present to you the same information. And you will be drawn and attracted to the one that matches your particular need, your soul lesson, and your destiny. Because the teacher is always predestined. And like the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Could be in the form of a book, a movie, this seminar, encountering a disciple or an initiate. It's rare that we encounter a real master. They're probably not that easy to find because they have to be recognized. And you will not recognize the master until you're ready. Because the master doesn't teach kindergarten. And many, many people are still at the kindergarten stage. Well, I wonder if there's a God. Well, how do I know there's a God? What proof is there that there's a God? You know what I mean? This is ABC baby stuff. But the more advanced soul will come in with an innate sense of the divine. That's where you can tell that that person is an initiate that has been born, reborn, for another episode, whether they come in just to be of service or they come in actually to take their final initiations and move into mastery. And many, many, many souls right now on the planet are initiates of a certain degree. The first degree of initiation has to do with mastering the physical body. The second, mastering the emotions. The third, mastering the mind. The fourth, mastering and giving up the soul. Yeah, you actually give up the soul. Where does it go? It gets subsumed and absorbed up into the monad or the I Am presence. You don't lose yourself. You lose the illusion of separation from the self you've always been. So the soul itself is part of the happy dream. It's part of the conditioned self, but a very, very high level of conditioned self. But that too, at some point, you outgrow until you simply are the God you've always been. What is the God? Well, for all intents and purposes, the Father in heaven is called the monad, or the spirit man, or spirit. Or the I Am presence. You see, you can call the same thing many, many things. But it is what it is. And it's where Jesus said, the Father and I are one. He was speaking from the monadic consciousness when he said that. And so the great mystery is that you move from feeling you're a separate person to where you awaken as a divine individuality with a capital I. You don't lose identity. But you go to a state that we can't even talk about here because there's no point to it. But just know that it gets more and more and more glorious, blissful, ecstatic, participatory, loving, expansive, awesome. There's no adjectives. So do practice self-compassion. Don't judge yourself. You don't have enough information to even know what's going on, much less to judge yourself. Love everything. Bless everything. Your worst day, there's a pony under the pile. Don't curse the pile. Search for the pony. Find ways to make yourself happy. Happiness is union with God. Every whiff of happiness is the result of having made some measure of divine contact. Cultivate that. Find your happy place and keep going to it until you take it with you and you wear it and you become it, whoever you are. And leave yourself alone. Give yourself to God and go to God. And leave everything else up to God. But make your life delightful. Bring things into your life that you really enjoy. Eat the foods that you like, really, really like. So that when you sit down to eat, you really enjoy your food. When you make love, really enjoy the sensation of giving and receiving pleasure. When you're involved in singing, dancing, composing, writing, speaking, teaching, whatever, lose yourself in that to where you become one with that. That's the zen of life. And whatever you do, do it with all your heart, all your love, and make it as excellent and beautiful as you possibly can. Love and cherish yourself. I'll tell you, when you have an experience of seeing who you really are, you're going to want to fall down and kiss your own feet. Because that's the Christ. That's the uniquely begotten Son that you are. That's the Buddha. That's the Maitreya. That's the Avatar. That's the Beloved. And that's who you are. And you are so loved. God loves you because you simply are God's love. But God also loves you personally. Through the masters, through the angels, to the wonderful men and women who often sacrifice going beyond and doing higher work to come back to mentor and work with humanity. Those are the bodhisattvas. That's one of many paths of service that open up for us all. Maybe you're on that path and maybe not. But you can come back here and serve when you don't have to, out of sheer love. Or out of sheer love, you can merge with the Absolute for a while and then go forth as extensions, as avatars, to other places. But I hope this has conveyed to you something of such a breadth and such beauty that it will reignite the passion in your heart if you're feeling a little down today. If you've been spending too much time watching the news, don't watch the news. Read the good news. Read the wonderful lives of the avatars and saints and great men and women of God. And above all, be happy. Happiness, truly, is union with God. And loving God and serving humanity is probably the purest intention that we can cultivate at this time. And so I hope this has been helpful. I sure enjoy speaking to you each week. So let's chant Anaihu with deep love. and send the blessing of peace to all of humanity and all life forms. Deep breath. And may all the beings of all the worlds be happy and have peace. Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu. Namaste.